Well, that's just it. Now, the online stuff is really where Ontario, BC, and Quebec have taken this up a notch, and that's given pause for concern to a lot of people, wary of the implications, sociological consequences, including the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, whose spokesperson and lead researcher for the organization, Derek Medema, has joined the Oakley Show this morning at Talk Radio AM 640. Mr. Medema, good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've looked into this matter, and you're saying the province like Ontario, let's just focus on Ontario, for example, the OLG, are working at cross purposes in effect?
Yes, very much so. It basically comes down to this. The OLG is mandated mainly to raise money for the province. And since problem gamblers spend a lot more on average than your average gambler, if they're going to seriously make an effort to help problem gamblers spend less, they're both trying to raise money on one hand and in trying to help problem gamblers, encouraging people to spend less.
Do you think they're actually focusing on problem gamblers? In other words, the dirty secret is they know who the players are, the ones more apt to lose more money per capita, and so they go after them?
Well, you know, the difficulty, I think, is from what I've seen of their efforts, you know, they have their tagline, Know Your Limit, Play Within It. They have websites that tell about the myths of gambling, but if you have, you know, it's similar if you have an alcoholic who's addicted, you're not going to change their mind to get them stop drinking by telling them how bad it is, or, you know, you could lay that out in all sorts of ways. So I don't think they're really making a strong effort. There's a lawsuit going on currently, I believe, about a man who signed a self-exclusion agreement.
Right.
That's supposed to give employees of the OLG the right to bar him from casinos. But he's been able to go back in and continue to lose big money. And I can understand from... Well, now that's before the court, so I'm not... I don't know the details of that particular case, but that just illustrates some of the problems.
He was getting around it by using aliases and the rest, or at least that's the contention.
Okay.
So they're saying, well, you know, we couldn't totally police this, even with the best of intentions. But let's get on to whether or not, though, we're understanding the full magnitude of this issue or this problem, because my understanding, the Institute of Marriage and Family has come out with their own numbers as to how many people are impacted by a problem gambler. What have you found?
Well, these aren't so much my own numbers as numbers I found in existing studies. There are a small number of Canadian adults themselves who are addicted, who are problem gamblers. But when you roll that out to the number of the people that can be affected, for example, if it's a parent who's a problem gambler, their spouse, their partner, their kids, their coworkers could all be affected. So if we estimate that 5 to 10 people per problem gambler can be affected, you're looking at between 12% and 25% of the Canadian population.
Are actually impacted by gamblers. I mean, help me out here. 12 to 25%. How are they impacted? I mean, just you know, somebody's not bringing home the money for the food and the kids' clothes and other things. But how else would coworkers and that be impacted?
Well, you know, coworkers can be affected if workers at a bank, for example. I spoke with someone in Windsor about this, about an article in the Windsor Star today, about a case where someone high up at a bank stole $100,000 from their business to pay for their gambling debts. And as that happens in businesses, you know, if a small business loses $100,000 or you know, $200,000, that's a huge chunk out, and there may have to be repercussions for the rest of the staff. But beyond financial, what happens to the morale of the company when a manager who's in a position of trust steals from the company in order to cover their gambling habit?
All right, so your point here is, you know, with all the numbers you're crunching and the sociological or social consequences to gambling, government should get out. But they're hooked on the revenue now. It's too late, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's part of the question. I know they're hooked on the gambling, and I'm under no illusion that this one study by us is going to change the government's opinion, but this point needs to be made. I call for them to get out because they are in that conflict of interest, And if they want to get out of the conflict of interest, they can get out of being the gambling providers. They can regulate gambling as much as they want. They can tax winnings as much as they want to help to deal with the lost revenue. But then they're no longer providing the service. They're no longer bearing, and it is a tricky issue in terms of how much responsibility the provider bears for addicts. But if they're no longer providing the service, then they bear no responsibility to in terms of helping people get addicted, to put it one way, but they can also, out of the revenue that they gain, make real efforts to help problem gamblers stop without being in that conflict of interest.
Is it possible to see a silver lining to this dark cloud here? I mean, is it possible gaming also has social benefits?
Well, the difficulty with gambling is that the average, according to StatsCan, the average wage of gambling employees of casino employees, for example, is quite low. Most of them are part time. Very few have little benefits. So there are jobs in the gambling industry, but they're not real lucrative jobs. And when we I think what we really need to be able to do, if we're even concentrating on Ontario. Is we need to be able to look at, and this isn't quite possible yet, but we need to be able to look at how many divorces are happening on the basis of gambling, how many bankruptcies, how many suicides, what's the cost of all these people going through divorce court? What's the cost of family breakdown? What's the cost of welfare that's being added? What are all the costs that the province is taking on due to problem gambling? Then we could truly see how much money they're bringing in. Because right now, as 2008 StatsCan said, they're bringing in about $1.7 billion in profit. But until we know how much they're actually spending based on problem gambling, we can't know how big that number actually is.
Right. And I guess it's difficult to quantify as to, the breakdowns in marriages and relationships and the impact on the kids and all the rest, but $1.7 billion the revenue taken in. When I talked about the silver lining, if we consider this to be a voluntary tax where people are playing these games of their own volition, the revenues then derived would go towards social programs. I mean, do we have any way of documenting how much social programs are benefiting from these this revenue stream?
Well, I think if you were to go to the OLG website, they would lay out there how much they spend and where. But again, if we look at, I don't deny that there's social benefits to the money that's coming right now. But if the government can, through taxation and regulation, recoup some of that money, if we could figure out what the net profit was in light of problem gambling, then we could find out whether by taxation and getting out of the business, government could still bring in that same amount of revenue, still carry on these programs, but not have the responsibility. So I don't think it's I'm not calling for gambling to be outlawed. I'm not calling for revenue to dry up for governments. What I am saying is they need to get out and find another way to get revenue from it.
Right, and tax it. Leave it to the privates to control. And this, again, is under the rubric of the Institute of Marriage and Family.
Mm-hmm.
That's because it obviously impacts the family unit. It's detrimental to the family, and that's why you flagged it, your organization. I appreciate your insights this morning, and we'll carry on, perhaps talk down the road, Derek.
Okay, thank you very much.